Can you imagine a firefighter that sat in his truck texting people while others were trapped in a burning building? Would this not be a grave neglect of duty? While people are burning, he chooses something other than to run into the flames of the people he has been sworn to protect. And Oswald J. Smith said, "All my friends were loaded down with countless church activities, while the real work of the church, that of evangelizing and winning the lost, is almost entirely neglected." Where, O Christian, is our urgency and zeal to reach lost people for Christ as obedience to our Lord? This life of man is so short. James 4:14 tells us, "Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Ray Comfort said, "Just as there were monks that took a vow of silence in monasteries, many today live in a monastery without walls. Many Christians aren't vexed at the fate of the unconverted because they don't know the terror of the Lord. Therefore, they don't seek to persuade men to come to Christ. Many have lost contact with the world. Life consists of Saturday night fellowship, Sunday services, Wednesday Bible studies, and a few other social activities. They're living in a Christian comfort zone where little contact is made with the ungodly, perishing world." Would you stand with me as I read Acts chapter 8, verse 25 to 37? Amen. I'm going to start at verse 26. "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert.' So he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of our treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near and overtake the chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scriptures which he read was this: 'He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In humiliation his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth.' So the eunuch answered Philip and said, 'I ask of you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?' Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him." You may be seated. Powerful portion of scripture. Philip had just recently come from a great revival in Samaria. If you just look back at one verse, in verse 25, he was preaching the gospel in many villages where the Samaritans were. So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching that gospel. And so the two things that we see in these short passages are, number one, God's servant was prepared in verses 25 to 29, and God's servant preaches the word of God, verses 30 through 35. And so we notice in verse 26, he looks to the word of God. How do we know that? Because God's word came to him with marching orders, specific marching orders, like a commander to a soldier. 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4 says, "He endured hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Philip was one of God's soldiers. He snapped to attention. He was Ten Hut, "Yes, Lord." He obeyed God's word. He was ready, willing, and able to go. Let me contrast that with Jonah. He says, "Arise and go." Jonah arose and he said no, and he ran the other direction. But he should have come to attention, like a soldier obeying his commander. But Jonah didn't do that. He stood up and he went the other way. He ran from his assignment. Philip ran to his assignment, and he runs from one preaching assignment to another, irrespective of the task. There was a humongous revival going on in Samaria, and he left the fanfare of all of that to go reach one soul that God had his eye upon, and that perhaps Philip had no idea he was going to be passing through at that time. We need to realize that because Philip was filled with the Holy Spirit of God, no task was too great or too little for him to undertake. He's quick to obey. I've heard it said that delayed obedience can be likened to disobedience. Jonah was slow to obey. Philip quickly obeyed. He had instant obedience. Just last night, Brother Jose and I, we left the church. And my wife called me and said, there's someone who just died of a massive heart attack. Would you go to the hospital and would you pray with the family? I was just wanting to go and get ready for this and tidy up the loose ends. And amazingly, this morning, last night, God was making me put into practice the urgency to go at a moment's notice. And I said, Jose, this is just like God to do such a thing. And we met and we ministered the gospel to people who don't know, nobody in that room knew Christ. So we began to share the gospel with them. And hopefully this will continue, because only one of the women knew anything about the Word of God, because we gave her a Bible and we encouraged her to begin and read it, and she had been doing so. A man died suddenly. See, there are only two times to be prepared to preach the gospel. In season and out of season. Any other time is inappropriate. Are you ready in season and out of season? Do you have a heart like a firefighter? Do you live with a sense of urgency? When that bell goes off, are you ready to go down the pole? Are you ready to jump in the truck? Are you ready to go and seek and save that which is lost? Would you be someone that the Lord could call upon and trust that when He says go, you say yes, Lord, and you move? Or when He says go, are you like Jonah and you say no? Maybe there's a much better ministry in Tarshish. Maybe the people over there are much nicer. The Ninevites, I don't know about them. They're a rough crowd. They don't deserve the mercy of God. I'm going to go to people who I think deserve the mercy of God. Just like Pastor Peter spoke about. Sometimes we look at certain people and we say, no, Lord, not that one, not them. I don't like this group. I don't like that person. We should be ready to go to anybody at any time. And that's what Philip was ready to do. What about you? What about you? Are you ready to immediately go to the lost? And Philip walks by the very Spirit of God. The Spirit told him to overtake the chariot. Now, this was the kind of a chariot that would be carried, because it says he had to come up into the chariot. Think of the Ark of the Covenant. It was carried. Right? And so, this wasn't, from what I understand, a chariot that was like rolling around. This is one that was carried. So now, Philip has to go up into this chariot, and the men who are holding it have a little extra weight on them. Does he go, no, Lord, I can't do that. That'll be a burden on the people carrying the eunuch. No. He just obeys God and leaves all the consequences to Him. This was a high-ranking African official from Ethiopia. And this encounter with Philip was going to bear the fruit of the gospel and cause it to make its way to Africa. This was the first convert to Africa. You see, you never know who you're speaking to and what impact the gospel will have upon a soul. This encounter was going to impact an entire continent for Christ. Wow! What if he would have said, no, Lord? No, the chariot's too far ahead. No, I'm a little too heavy. I don't want to sit in there and burden all these people. What if he made excuse after excuse after excuse? That gospel was going to Africa, and he was using Philip to open his mouth to make it happen through the eunuch, who God was preparing the soil of his heart. He's reading the book of Isaiah. What an amazing thing that God was establishing at this moment. God brings someone across Philip's path and puts Philip in that exact spot at the exact time so their paths will cross, so that God's name will be glorified and sent to Africa. Glory be to God. Well, we see God's servant. He preaches, and he preaches with great zeal. Philip doesn't walk or stroll. It says he runs. You ever have a gospel tract in your hand and you go to give it to somebody and they turn the corner and you go, I guess I missed them. Philip didn't do that. He ran after him with the tract. He ran down the street like Crystal would do. Right? And she goes, right? Ran after him. Why? Because the glory of God. Because the call of God. Because this man was on his way to hell. But he got saved by Christ. He knows that it is appointed for man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Do we remember that, saints? Do we remember people are really headed to hell apart from Christ? They're not just going to a Christless eternity. They're not just going to be separated from God. No, they're going to hell, and God's presence will be there in all His wrath upon them. The awe of that day should cause an urgency and pierce our consciences and burn in our hearts. And it said He opened His mouth. Maybe this is the hardest thing for some of us to do, to actually open our mouths and say something of the gospel. But there can be no conversion apart from the Word of God. John 5:24 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in Him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, for He has passed from death to life." Ephesians 1:13, "In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." And what did God choose out of all the means in this world to show the world that they need to be saved? Here's what Paul says. "It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." He chose the foolishness of preaching His word to save those who are dead in their sins and bring them and resurrect them to life. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified." Because saints, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Philip had to open his mouth. And what a divine appointment. He's reading Isaiah 53. Talk about putting it on a tee. Knock that one out of the park. Here he was. It's a perfect picture of the Lamb of God. The very chapter Philip preached Christ to the eunuch. He was able to begin from where the man was and take him through the scripture and explain that this was about Christ. Too bad many Jewish people today don't understand that. They think it's about Israel. But this man understood this. This Ethiopian said, who is this man that I'm reading about here? He took him through the scriptures and explained what Jesus had done. Steve Lawson writes concerning Charles Spurgeon. Throughout his prolific ministry, Spurgeon was consumed with gospel zeal. He made it a practice to isolate one or a few verses and use it as a springboard to proclaim the gospel. He asserted, "I take my text and I make a beeline to the cross." Can you go from anywhere in the scripture and make a beeline to the cross? No matter where you are, Song of Solomon, Proverbs, Esther, Genesis. Can you take someone from there to Christ? If you're talking to a Jewish person, can you take them from Exodus to Christ, from Leviticus to Christ? You have to study the Word of God to be able to do such things. This is precisely what Philip did using Isaiah 53. He makes a beeline and connects the dots from the suffering servant to the Lamb of God, which is Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen? Are you prepared to preach Christ from anywhere in the Scriptures to the lost? Are you fearful or bold to open your mouth for Christ? Speaking God's Word with boldness comes from being in prayer and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Acts 4:31. Leonard Ravenhill wrote in Why Revival Tarries about a man named Charlie Peace. Charlie Peace was a criminal. Laws of God or man curbed him not. Finally, the law caught up to him, and he was condemned to death. On the fatal morning in Armley Jail in Leeds, England, he was taken on the death walk. before him when the prison chaplain routinely and sleepily reading some Bible verses. The criminal touched the preacher and asked, "What are you reading?" "The Consolations of Religion," was the reply. Charlie Peace was shocked at the way he professionally read about hell. Could a man be so unmoved under the very shadow of the scaffold as to lead a fellow human there, and yet dry-eyed, read of a pit that had no bottom into which this fellow must fall? Could this preacher believe the words that there is an eternal fire that never consumes its victims, and yet slide over the phrases with a tremor? Is a man human at all who can say with no tears, "You will be eternally dying," and yet never know the relief that death brings? All this was too much for Charlie Peace, so he preached. Listen to his On the Eve of Hell sermon. "Sir," addressing the preacher, "if I believed what you and the Church of God say that you believe, even if England were covered with broken glass from coast to coast, I would walk over it if need be, on hands and knees, and think it worthwhile living to save one soul from an eternal hell like that. How can it be that a condemned criminal who probably did not know Christ become more concerned about people going to an eternal torment than you or I? How many of us would scramble across the length of this country, torn to shreds by the shards of glass beneath us, to save one soul from hell? Why are so many professing Christians not preaching and sharing the gospel with the lost? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. Perhaps there's a lack of love. Jesus said, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Perhaps there's no following taking place. The task is truly for every Christian. Soul winning is a crucial and urgent task for every Christian. We must stop using the excuse of some having the gift of evangelism and some not having such a gift. If it was a gift, then why are we all commanded to obey it if only the gifted could fulfill it? Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. And Timothy was a pastor. I've heard pastors say, that's not my gift. Really? Well, then you need to heed the words of Paul, pastor. Listen to what the late Keith Green said. This generation of Christians is responsible for this generation of souls. He said, do you see the people sinking down? Don't you care? Don't you care? Are you going to let them drown? How can you be so numb not to care if they come? You just close your eyes and pretend the job's done. Are you prepared to go? Do you have a zeal for God to go to the lost? Do you have an urgency before the Lord to go to the lost? At one time that was you, that was me going to hell. Did we forget on the road from which we came? We can't forget where we came from. We were the dead men's bones that Ezekiel said, can these bones live? O Lord, only you know. And then the bones are raised, an exceedingly great army. And this Ethiopian eunuch was raised from the dead. And the gospel went forth to Africa. What an amazing Lord. What an amazing Lord. Are you prepared to preach God's word to the lost? Is there zealousness in your veins, a fire in your soul? Some perhaps need to repent, as David repented in Psalm 51. And then in the midst of his repentance, listen to what David said that most of us may skip over. He said, and then I will teach transgressors your ways. Perhaps you've been very lax in going out to reach the lost for Christ. The greatest thing we could do in all the world is worship God. But the greatest task is reaching lost people and making disciples for our Lord. David said, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you and praise you, Lord. You are a great and a mighty God that has saved all those that know You in this room. You've saved us and made us like Your Son. You've saved us from hell. Give us an urgency and a boldness and a zealousness for Your honor and for Your glory to reach this world. For there's nothing else on this planet, nothing else in this universe that can reach the lost except the gospel of Jesus Christ in the entrusted hands of Your saints. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.